It's a nuance of anger. And we talked about how disappointment leads to frustration, and frustration leads to stress, and stress leads to agitation, and agitation, you know, and it goes until we reach anger. And then sometimes, if we don't deal with our anger in a godly way, it will lead to rage, which we have seen much of that in our country. And so that's kind of the background of where we were last week. And this week, from the same passage, because when we looked at disappointment, the definition that we had last week was disappointment comes from expectations that are not really met. And when we have expectations that aren't really met, then we're disappointed. And so I thought this morning we would be taking a look at expectations and what are our expectations. But before we do that, how many of you brought your blessing boxes with you today? God bless you. That's wonderful. Thank you. You know, I want to take just a moment, and who would like to volunteer and talk about one of the blessings that you put in your blessing box? Who would like to share? If you have your blessing box with you, pull something out. Who would like to share a blessing? You will? All right, Sandy's going to. Boy, that's a pretty blessing box. Where did you get that? My goodness. Okay. A Friday blessing.
I am blessed. There is an end to the work week.
Okay. Yeah. And probably you're blessed that you had a work that could be ending on Friday, right? That you had work, yeah. Anyone else want to share a blessing? Sure. Really?
Yeah, Bible is just all crazy. At the doctor's office, and I told him about Jesus and the Bible.
Wonderful. That is a blessing that God gives us opportunity. And, you know, thank you for taking advantage of that opportunity. You know, I would encourage us to pray that God would give us opportunities to share Jesus Christ. And not only to share Jesus Christ, but to invite, you know, whoever it is that God gives us an opportunity with, to church. Because we need to be reaching out, constantly reaching out and sharing the love of Christ with whoever we come, whether they're an atheist or not. Yeah. That's a blessing. Yeah, absolutely. Somebody else had to. Yes, Julie. Yeah.
But I was actually here with a piano tuner.
Ah. Okay.
I spent an hour of just kind of listening to him play the piano, and it was very soothing and relaxing. And
Okay.
A lot of joy.
Did you learn how to play it?
No, I didn't get that close. I was upstairs, but I.
Well, the reason that I gave you the blessing box is because the antidote to disappointment is to count our blessings. And every day we are blessed in some way. Now, blessings and joys are different. And joys are something we are happy about, and wow, that's wonderful and that's great. And, you know, we need to be happy and, you know, praising God and so forth. But blessings, joys come from us when we see various certain things happen. But blessings only come from God himself. See? They really do. They only come from blessings, only come from God himself. Now, we can do things to encourage people and so forth. But blessings come from God himself. And even in this country, we talk about the shape of this country and all the problems in this country and so forth. But we are richly blessed to be in this country and to have the freedoms that we have. And I don't know if we realize how blessed we are to be living in this particular country. And that is something that you know, God, when, you know, there's lots of questions about God. You know what I was actually going to do this morning? I see the whiteboard back there, and I think of Bob Pratt when I think of the whiteboard, because he always had it set up for me. Because there's a lot of questions regarding God. And you ever hear, well, Facebook is full of this. Where, and by the way, I'm always doing this, and I'm going to do it again. Julie, you are doing a great job in Sunday school, and we have a book that we just started. It's called Culture Shock. And if you're not in Sunday school, man, you are missing out on some really great stuff. And it's kind of an intellectual study, as we're finding out. I would encourage all of you to come out just an hour early and take part in the Sunday school hour that we have. It's a wonderful time, and we're addressing some controversial issues. So it's very challenging, very intellectual, causing us to think. And our faith is not just something that, you know, we magically, you know, what shall I say, lay hold of. Our faith is based in truth. Our faith is built in absolute truth. And that's one of the things we were talking about this morning. So I would encourage all of you to come to that. I'm chasing all kinds of rabbits today. But anyway, what can we expect? This is the message for today. And so I want to throw this out. What are your expectations? And where do your expectations come from? Who wants to volunteer? One of the things that we talked about in the conference yesterday was exploring various ways that we can challenge our congregations, challenge our world and the people who we come in contact with. And one of the things that was mentioned was that maybe our sermons ought to be interactive. And I almost leaned over to Bruce and say, we already do that at Franklin Hill. We're ahead of the curve there, because I always like to involve you in the message. So here's, again, another opportunity for you to be involved. What are your expectations? Anybody want to? Anything.
Well, there's breakfast.
You know, whenever I think of Barb Kessler, I think of an intellectual gal who loves intellect, right? And I always, but I didn't expect that this morning from you, you know? Breakfast, okay. All right, I didn't expect breakfast, so I didn't get breakfast, and so I'm not disappointed at all, but okay. Thank you for simplifying it.
Yeah, bring the donuts.
What's that?
Bring the donuts.
Bring the donuts. That's a setup, I can tell.
Duncan is on his way.
What are some other expectations that you might have? Amen. Amen.
It's quite imperative.
Yeah. And that reminds me of, you know, as I was preparing this, what are my expectations for Franklin Hill Church? And it used to be, and I guess it still is, but it used to be that we would see 100 people here. And when I said that, somebody said, somebody else had that expectation, or we've had that expectation. I think it was you, Julie, you know. She threw a cold towel on that whole thing, you know. I never forgot that. But that's still an expectation. But as I was thinking about it, and thinking about the months that I've been here now, you know, God has kind of, because God addresses our expectations with his truth and his word, and what he's going to do. And that's very different than what we expect many, 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 many times. In fact, maybe all the time, I don't know. But as I was thinking about my expectations for Franklin Hill, I thought about many of you. Since I have been here, and it's only been, I don't know, number of months. But, you know, you all have grown. You really have. And I'm going to get emotional. It's not what I expected. I expected numbers, you know? And boy, how shallow is that, right? And instead, God said, you know what? We're going to grow the congregation spiritually. And I have seen that. I've seen that in so many people. And I don't want to single anyone out. But I have seen growth in this congregation spiritually. And boy, what a thrill that is to my heart, that you are growing spiritually. And that's wonderful. And that, but that's a different expectation. See, now if I had kept that expectation and said that's the way to measure whatever it might be, I'm going to be disappointed. But when we look at our expectations, where do they come from? Well, that expectation comes from me. That doesn't come from God. That comes from me. And where do your expectations come from? Go ahead.
From me.
Yeah, they come from us, don't they? Right? And so, and Shakespeare, who doesn't love Shakespeare? Ha, ha, ha. Expectation is the root of all heartache. And there's some truth to that, isn't there? Because if they come from us, right, and our expectations aren't met, then we're going to be miserable, somebody said, yeah. And we're going to experience all kinds of heartache. And when we look at expectations, how are they defined? Well, again, where do we go? I don't know. We used to go to Webster's anymore. It's Google, I guess. But a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future, right? I mean, does that make sense? And another term for expected value is how the definition is set forth to us here. Now, our strong belief is in the present. Where do our expectations come from? Well, they come from our experiences, don't they? Because when we experience something, that becomes something that we ingrained within us. And we develop all kinds of expectations based upon our experience. And then, not only that, but a strong belief in the future. Because my experiences were such, then, okay, I can expect this to happen in the future. But what we fail to remember is that our expectations come from within us so often. Now, there are all kinds of expectation, but for our purposes, we're going to focus on two. And I thought of Jim Kessler, and I don't know why, when I thought about it, because he's just so down to earth and tells it like it is, I guess, you know. But here we are, Jim, right? Realistic and unrealistic. Or Barb, you know, expecting breakfast, right? You know, there you are. Realistic and unrealistic. You with me on this? Yeah. Now, how many times have you been told when you are sharing with people what might happen and you say, you know, Jeff and I and Keith, we were on hunting trips and I expected to get a shot at a really nice buck. That didn't happen. I expected it, but it didn't happen. Now, Jeff's expectations were better than mine. He expected to shoot an elk, and he did. So his expectations were realistic. Mine were not. But I got to say this, Jeff, that if you went in with an expectation that you were going to shoot an elk, what would have happened if you didn't? Would have been unrealistic probably, right? Yeah, that's the nature. Boy, this is about as quiet as I've ever heard you, Jeff, you know? Welcome back, by the way.
Why is it unrealistic if your expectations don't come true? You can have a realistic expectation based
That's true.
So what is an unrealistic expectation?
Well, an unrealistic expectation maybe would be better stated as an unrealized expectation based on our experience. Great. You know, I love this. I love the interaction and the questions. I think we're on the cutting edge, Bruce, you know, really, based on what we heard yesterday. But good question. Now, according to our passage in Romans 8, it's realistic to expect. Now, if our expectations come from us and they're unrealized, and we could say, well, it was probably unrealistic for me to expect that, and knowing that it's based on our experience or coming from us, then where do we need to go for our expectations? And I'm going to say that according to our passage, it's realistic to expect suffering, disappointment when we don't get a deer, right? Or when we don't get what we expect based on our experience. It's realistic to expect suffering, pain, being sinned against, disappointed. Why? Well, according to our passage, it's because of sin. And we live in a sinful world, and we are sinners. And not only are we sinners, but we experience the sin around us. See? So things are not as we might expect, because we expect, correct me if I'm wrong, most of the time we expect good things to happen, don't we? Because that's what we want to have happen.
Didn't happen on your hunting trip.
Didn't happen on the hunting trip.
Where right. You expected them to be.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm still hunting and still not seeing a big buck. But anyway. But we can expect, you know, because we have all these why questions. And I mentioned a little bit ago about Facebook and so forth. And on Facebook, you know, you see, do you see the same things I see? Social media is everywhere, and it's hard to avoid anymore. But everybody's going to heaven. You notice that? Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody expects that when we die, heaven awaits everyone.
Because Jesus is so merciful.
But that's not what the Bible teaches, is it? That's not absolute truth, is it? It's unrealistic. Thank you, Joe. It's unrealistic. Why? Because we live in a sinful world, people. And because of our sin, and if I had my whiteboard here, I mentioned that. You know, we think of God as keeping somebody from heaven. Right? That's what we think. And we expect that when people die, they're going to go to heaven. You know, that is so misguided, you know, because the reality is that we're all sinners. In Adam, we all sinned, and we all commit our own sin, and you know that as well as I do.
Amen.
And because of that, we are all, and the Bible says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. And the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Yeah. See, we're all on our way to hell. You understand that? Because of our sin, we are all on our way to hell. All of us, not heaven. Where is that coming from? We're all on our way to hell. Now, here's what's really great news, and that's what this church is all about. And hopefully this is what we're all about. We, because of God's mercy and his grace, says, you know what? I don't want to see everybody go to hell. I'm going to reach down and show myself to Kathy, to Aubrey, to Bruce, to Julie, whoever it might be, And I'm going to show myself to them in a way that they will respond to me and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their heart and to save them. And now there's heaven that awaits. People say, well, that's not fair. Really? God's not fair, huh? Yeah. You really want what's fair? What's fair is that we're all on our way to hell. That's what's fair. Because we're sinners. And that's what we deserve. You want God to be fair? I don't. I want him to be loving. And Romans 5:8 says that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And that's why we have a message, people, that you ought to be taking to the world every opportunity that you have, even with an atheist. So what? Right? The love of Christ applies to him. And there may be a time. Do you know at one time, how many of you have ever heard of C.S. Lewis?
Oh, yeah. Screwtape Letters.
Yeah.
Great book.
Do you know at one time, C.S. Lewis said that he was an atheist. Do you know that? I think we touched on that in Sunday school a little bit. And C.S. Lewis became one of the greatest theologians and apologists of our time. And he wrote all kinds of books that have impacted this world like few people have ever impacted this world. He was an atheist. Somebody shared Christ with him. And he responded to God's opening his eyes. And in Ephesians, it says that God quickens us. He opens our eyes and we see that God is calling us. And we're going to respond to that call as C.S. Lewis did. And we're going to have an impact on our community. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. When our expectations are such that they're in line with God's word. So, we can expect to be disappointed. We can expect to be frustrated, stressed, even angry. Because the consequences of our own sin and the circumstances living in a sinful world, we can expect disappointment. Boy, doesn't it grieve our hearts? You know, Dan. Doesn't it grieve our hearts when we see somebody and we're all headed in that direction at one time, whenever that God calls us, right? We become ill and the prognosis is not good, right? Are we going to be angry? Probably. Most likely. Disappointed, that would be an understatement. But we can expect that that's going to happen. And because of what? God's not fair, God's not loving, God's not kind, God's not good?
He's just.
And he's righteous. And because of our sin, for the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Right. Praise God that he's not fair. Praise God that he's a God of mercy, that he's a God of grace. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I would challenge you to consider asking the Lord Jesus Christ into your life so that you too can experience heaven for real and eternal life for real. Because this life is no comparison, our passage says, to the glory that is going to come, yet future. Yesterday when we were in conference, are you thinking what I'm thinking? We were talking about our churches, and this one fella, he wore a cowboy hat, had a beard and earring and so forth. And he's pastoring this church, I think it was in Bradford County somewhere. Forget his name. Doug, was it?
Yeah, Doug Lee. Cold Springs or whatever it was.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody was talking about, where do you see yourself in 10 years? You know, where do you see your church in 10 years? And he was standing up and he says, well, I asked that question. And he said, my congregation is so elderly that if I ask them, you know, where do I see themselves in 10 years? They say, I see myself in future glory. You know, and we all chuckled and we all laughed because that's how old his church is. But you know what? Isn't that wonderful? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Man, if you can say, I see myself in future glory because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, that's really what it's all about. That's really what it's all about. And that's all that really matters in a very real sense. Is where are you going to spend in eternity? So, what does God expect of all of us if our reactions are such as anger? You know, and by the way, it's not wrong to be angry. According to Ephesians 4:26, it says, be angry, and the verb there is an imperative. And if you know anything about English, and if my wife was here, she would... She's an English nut. She drives me crazy with English. But anyway, we all know what an imperative is, right? It's a command. And God says, be angry. And you know why he commands us to be angry? Because we should be angry because of sin and the sin of others and being sinned against. That's what you can expect. You can expect to be sinned against even, right? But then he goes on to say, in Ephesians 26 and 27, chapter 4, sin not and give no opportunity for the devil. In other words, what are we going to do with our anger? What are we going to do with our frustration? What are we going to do with our stress? Are we going to become vengeful? Are we going to be selfish? Or are we going to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm angry. I don't like whatever, whatever it is. I may not like it, but you know what? I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to give the devil an opportunity to take me in a wrong direction, in a direction away from God. No. I'm going to what? What's the best thing? I'm going to remember my blessings. In the blessing box. I am going to forgive. Where would we be without forgiveness? You tell me. Where would we be without forgiveness? Nobody's answering that.
On our way to hell.
On our way to hell, yeah.
The world would be a burnt cinder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, marriages or any relationship. That's a, you know, a very close, intimate relationship. You know, the best way you can love your spouse, love a friend, is to forgive them. Because we're all sinners. You know, I'm going to do things that you're not going to like. You're going to do things that I don't like. But you know what? I love you. And hopefully you love me. And we forgive. And we forgive. That's what it's all about. Right?
We love everybody for God's sake.
For God's sake. And we forgive. Because if we didn't, as Jan just said, I called you Barb, I don't know why, but Jan. You'll, she knew who I was talking about. Or for breakfast, right? And so we're gonna wrap up with this. Realistically. We can expect God, and Deb says to me, this is a run-on sentence. I plead guilty. This is a run. I said, so what? You know, realistically, we can expect God, as his redeemed, as his adopted children, saved children, to bless us with all the blessings found in trusting him, that hope that we just read about, trusting him because of Christ, to be faithful to who he says he is. as a gracious and just God, and who we are as we live a Christ-like life now and the certainty of future glory. I guess that is a run-on sentence, isn't it? Yeah. I probably should have broke it down. But do you follow all that? My wife's going to say, see, I told you that was a run-on sentence. But it's all there. There it is. There it is. That's what we realistically can expect from God when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And you know, one of the things at conference yesterday that I was encouraged to hear, that our denomination is all about sharing Jesus Christ. And we were challenged to do exactly that. And I wanted to lean over and whisper to Bruce, which I did a couple times along the way, we preach Christ at Franklin Hill Church. Right?
Yes.
Amen. And that's what it's all about. And so go. Here's the challenge this morning. Check your expectations at the door. Where are they coming from? And what can we expect? Yeah, we can expect pain. We can expect to be sinned against. We can expect because we live in a sinful world. But here's the good news. We can expect God because of Jesus Christ, and asking Jesus Christ to come into our life. We can expect God to richly bless us. And those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that's called in the Bible and theology special grace. That's just for you if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's just for you. But you know what? Don't be selfish with your faith. Say, you know what? You can have this too. You can have this too. Right? And share your story. Share your experiences. Share Jesus Christ, even with an atheist. God bless you, Bonnie. Right? That's the challenge. So let me just close in a word of prayer here and leave you with that challenge. And take a look at our expectations and what forgiveness means and everything that we've talked about in terms of our expectations. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word addresses our expectations. We thank you that you have given us expectations that are for real. They're not unrealistic. They are real. They are true. They are absolute because of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.